Sometimes I find myself wondering just how deeply I really truly love others. You ever get that? I wonder if I'm really loving people the way God wants me to love them. And you know, I look at that because there's certain people that I have affection for, I have an emotional connection for, and then there are others that I literally hang on to. Because I either don't know them or I know them, and as the scripture says, that we bear up with one another because maybe we aren't as compatible. And I think we all know that's true. And let me read this verse out of Ephesians chapter 4 because I love it. Verse 2, with all lowliness, and means humbleness, and gentleness, with long suffering, which means patience, and it means long patience, bearing with one another in love. And bearing with means enduring, putting up with. Now, does putting up with sound like love? Yeah, it really is, okay? Now, listen to this. Hear or listen to willingly. Now, you know, I we stop and we think about that. And what Paul is saying here is that, you know, a lot of times you're listening to somebody and they're the kind of person you're not as compatible to, and they're talking and their lips are going and you're not hearing a word, right? Okay, that's when we're not loving them. Okay, when our ears are open and we're listening to them and encourage them, that's when we do love them. And, you know, this really came home to me because years ago, we had a foster child, Chris Summers. He used to go to the church for a long time until he moved up to Nebraska, I think. And Chris was in our home for about 6 months. Now, we had never had a foster child before, and we were used to loving our kids, and we thought, okay, we can love him just like our kids. Have you ever done that? Have any of you been there? Or maybe you've had someone into your home that's lived there for a while, and you think, oh, yeah, we're good friends. We'll love them. And they get in there, and all of a sudden you realize, do we really love them? And I remember Debbie turning to me, about 6 months after Chris was there, and she said, you know, God just opened up a new area to you and me, Steve. And I said, what's that? And she said, we don't love like we thought. And I thought, boy, she's so right. And we had to relearn to love and love him like he was our own. And that goes with you, I think, with families, with friends that you've had. And so, we have affection for some people. We bear up with other people. We don't know other people well enough, except that we do know they're in the body of Christ. And so because they're in the body of Christ, we love you. Visitors, we love you more than you love us right now. I'm just saying that because you're new and this is all, never been here before. And we're a little more used to it. So we love you as well as everybody else. Because you are part of God's creation, and as a result of that, we love you. And John says this, and this commandment we have found from him, we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And Paul says, love one another. So loving someone else is not maybe it's not a option that we can choose and we say, well, I think I'll love them and I won't. No, we're supposed to love all. Amen? Turn with me to Titus chapter 3, verse 15, our verse for today. Have you ever noticed that when God asks us to do something, he provides the ability to do it? Now, I don't know if you've discovered this, but if you march along in your Christian life very long and you kind of look back, whatever God says to do, he gives you the ability to do it. And so with every one of us, he's given us the ability to love. And he's given us the ability to, it's like this extra shot of love. And I don't know, I remember when I came to Christ and I showed up at church for the first time in 7-8 years. I hadn't been to church, and I went in there and some guy invited me to sit with him. And I thought, wow, that's weird. You know, and so I sat down, and you know, you won't believe it, but I had hair about down to here, and, you know, was ponytailed and all that kind of thing. I'd come from kind of a rough life. And I sat down with him, and I noticed that he really seemed to care about me. And what was weird was because I had just trusted Christ, I kind of cared about him. And we were not compatible at all. He was a short-headed computer guy. I mean, short hair, excuse me, not short-headed, sorry. Sorry, I must be still back at the hospital or something. Short-haired computer guy, kind of a nerdish guy, and I thought I was pretty cool. I don't know if I was cool or not, but I thought I was. And, you know, we're looking at, and I'm thinking, you know what? I really love this guy. It's only my first day at church, and I love this guy. And, you know, God gives us that extra shot, and so it's like people come into our lives, and they're people that we would never match up with if we weren't Christians. Isn't that true? We would never match up with them. Maybe they're too educated or not educated enough, or our hobbies don't match, or our interests don't match, or maybe they're too brash and too bold, or they're too refined, or they're too quiet. Or maybe they're simply out of our league, or we're out of their league, or whatever it is. And in the regular world, we would not have ever connected with them. Now, I'll give you a good example of that. Your relatives. Okay? And yet, we have this unfounded, by the world standards, love that we truly are able to love others just like Christ told us to do, Paul told us to do. And so we spend time together ministering, we spend time together serving towards the great goals that we have, and we grow to love one another in spite of our old sinful instincts. And as we develop these friendships and relationships in Christ, we begin to develop an affection for others. Not just love, but an affection, an emotional relationship, a true personal relationship in liking people that we never thought we would like before. Now, am I the only one? You're all staring at me like, Steve, you do that, but we don't. No? Okay. All right. Okay. I just wanted to check. All right. This is where we find Paul today. Greeting brothers in Christ with an affectionate love because they spent time together, ministering together, having mutual goals. And so let's look at Titus 3:15. All who are with me greet you. And now look at this next line. Greet those who love us in the faith. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be to you all. Amen. Now let's stop and think about this for a minute. We've seen Apollos in here, we've seen Zenas, we've seen a few other names at the end of Titus here. And Apollos was a great orator. People used to really love to listen to Apollos preach. Paul was a theologian, and he was a good theologian, but Apollos wasn't that good of a theologian. When they first met him, I think it was in Acts 18, he hadn't even heard about what Christ said. He only had heard about what John said, and he was out preaching great sermons about John and that kind of thing. And they said, well, wait a minute, you're not caught up here. And they had to catch him up on his theology. And so I think he was one of those that didn't care that much about theology, cared more about the preaching and seeing people come to Christ. And then we see Paul, who knows his theology, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel studying, and he was in the Sanhedrin. We would consider a PhD in Judaism. Gamaliel's father was Simeon, the one that circumcised Jesus. His grandfather, Gamaliel's grandfather, was Hillel. He was the greatest rabbi in all of Israel, and probably the rabbi that taught Christ when Christ was young. And Paul thoroughly knew his stuff. Apollos didn't. Zenas loved church business. And he loved all the aspects about that. And Paul really liked evangelism and discipleship. So they may not have been exactly compatible together. But it's interesting. And I could go with each person. But here's the thing. They all were loved by each other. They all contributed in a different way. And they were all committed to the work of God. And I think the question comes up, and it came up in my heart today, or this week, is how do we have that kind of relationship that's robust with both God and with the people around us so that we truly love those who love us in the faith? And they love others because God says so. Greet the ones loving us in the faith. That's really the answer, isn't it? We love each other in the faith. And it was an interesting passage because Paul, when he talks to him, and I thought, oh, this is kind of an interesting passage, and I read through, and as I was what we call exegete, and that is you kind of translate the original language into English, and as I was looking at that, I realized that Paul used an unusual word here for love. Greet the ones loving us with affection and emotion in the faith. Now, that's called phileo in Greek. Now, all the love that we see typically in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, most all the time is what's called agape love. Let me just give you the three definitions so you know. First of all, and we studied this quite a while back, but a lot of you are new, so I want to catch you up here. There's three types of love in the Greek. Eros is more where we get our word erotic. It's a sexual love. It was originally meant the love between husband and wives, but boy, have our societies taken it a long ways, haven't they? A lot farther than that. But it is more of that romantic type of love. And then we get to phileo, which means an affectionate, emotional feeling, a sense of friendship, a sense of companionship type of love, and with some action involved. And then agape means a love in action. That is a mental agreement in the mind to love others and do something about it. Actually get going on it. And God gave his son, so loved the world, agape world, that he gave his son. That was his action towards us because he loved us with agape love. And you know, I look at it and I think married couples should have all three. Otherwise, the marriage has a hard time. The rest of us should have two, phileo and agape love. And we love each other and we start with agape love because that's just love in action. God's given us the ability to do that. And somewhere along the line, a lot of our relationships will turn into a phileo love. Now, are using those two words confusing you, or do you kind of have it? Phileo is emotional. Agape is action type love. But the goal is both. So let me demonstrate this by a passage in John 21. We come on the scene as you're reading in John 21, and Peter and six other disciples are out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and they're fishing, and they're throwing in their nets, and they're bringing them up, and every time they bring up the nets, they've got nothing in the net. And they're fishing all night, all into the dawn, and it gets late, and most of you are fishermen, you get to 8 o'clock somewhere around there, and there's no sense of fishing anymore because they've already eaten. And so they're looking at their nets, and they're thinking, man, what a drag. And all of a sudden, John sees somebody standing on the shore, and the person on the shore looks at them, and they all kind of look at him, and he says, children, have you any food? Oh, how irritating, right? I mean, you spent all night, you haven't got one single fish in your net, and some guy on shore that thinks he's a fisherman is asking you if you got any food because they maybe want to buy some fish from you. And so they went, no. And so he says, cast your net on the other side and you will find some. And, you know, as I was reading this passage, they're looking at this guy. They throw the net on the other side of the boat. I don't know if I would do that. I think I'd be pretty rebellious with the guy on the shore telling me how to do my job. But they threw it on the other side, and immediately fish filled up the net. So many so that it said they had 153 fish in there, and they could hardly, in the net, they said the net actually didn't tear. And so John turns to Peter and says, Peter, that's the Lord. Now, he's risen. He looks different than he did before because we're going to look a little bit different. We're all going to look pretty good when we get our new bodies, and Christ proved that. And so the Lord's standing on there waving at him and stuff, and so Peter throws on his shirt and he jumps in the water. Now, Peter's pretty impulsive. He just jumps in the water and heads toward shore. He forgets about the nets. He forgets about the boat. He forgets about everything because he's heard that Jesus is alive. He's actually seen him once. And now he's seeing them again. And so he gets in and he swims to shore, and the rest of them row like crazy, but they're having a hard time rowing because they're carrying 153 fish in a net they can hardly hold on to. And they get to shore, and Jesus has some fish already on the rocks by the fire, all toasted up for him with some bread. It says, here, sit down and have a meal. So they pull up the net and they get the fish and do whatever they do with it. And they sit down. Now, it said in there in the scriptures that none of them were willing to talk to the Lord. They were scared to death. They didn't even know what to say. And he would ask questions and they wouldn't answer. And so as they sat and had their meal and they looked at Christ and thinking, yeah, this is Christ. We know it's Christ, but it doesn't quite look like him. But they didn't say anything. And so we get to verse 15, and it says this. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape, now that's the love in action, right? Do you agape me more than these, the other six disciples? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I, what? Phileo you. I love you emotionally, Lord. You know I love you. You know you mean something to me. And he said, feed my little lambs then. And then it says he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I love you with emotion. And he said, tend or shepherd my sheep. Now, let me help you get this squared away here. Peter is at Jesus' trial, and he denies Jesus three times. Do you remember that? Oh, no. I'm a Galilean, but I'm not part of those Galileans. Oh, no, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. And then we see him run and thinking, how could I deny him? Because I was the one that told him he was the Christ, and I denied him. So now, think for a minute, you're like Peter and you've denied Christ, right? While he's listening to you at the trial, how would you feel if he's telling you, you be the leader? Man, that would be pretty tough, wouldn't it? It'd be like, man, not only has the Lord forgiven me, but now he's asking me to feed the sheep. And so we get to verse 17, and he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you phileo me? So Christ changes the word. Do you phileo me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you phileo me? So, you know, here's the interesting thing. Each time that Christ said, do you agape me? He heard phileo because of his relationship, because he had a relationship, a good relationship with Christ. And so now he says, do you, and we don't know how that question was. Christ could be saying, do you phileo me, Peter? Do you really love me emotionally? And he says, Christ, you know all things, man. You're the guy that always talked about my heart all along. You know I phileo. You know I love you emotionally. And he said to him, feed my sheep. Now, here's the thing I think that Jesus is telling him is, Peter, I know you love me emotionally, but get it in action. Get back to agape. Mix the agape with the phileo and be a doer of loving, not just love me emotionally, but you love me deep enough that you will get out and feed my sheep. And 50 days later, we see him in Acts chapter 2, and who's the king of preachers? Peter. He's standing up preaching unto him and helping him to come to Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ on that same day, 50 days later. Peter is a solid leader. So it's obvious to me when I look at that Jesus is moving from action love to a greater love of affection, but it doesn't mean there's no action. And the thing that we see in our society and in our families is when we meet somebody new, we agape love, we want to be more servant-like to them and that kind of thing. But after we get to know people and we have affection, we kind of slow down on that kind of thing. And God's saying, no, don't slow down. Keep it going. Keep working with these people. And, you know, I look at that and I think, you know, I know there are some of you here this morning that may not know Jesus Christ as Savior at all. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people who are Christians here, who put their faith and trust. And I think that what Christ was calling for in Peter's life was surrender. Peter, go feed my sheep. Give it your all. But love me. Love me both in action and love me in emotion. And as I thought about the example that Clyde used to give when his son passed away, and you know, Clyde had talked to me, and we went to the funeral with him when Alexander passed away. And after that was over, Clyde's talked about this before, about a month or month and a half after, all of a sudden he got hit hard with the fact that his son was now dead. And he said, do you remember, he walked up the street and he finally fell into the gravel. He said, God, what are you doing? And right then, even though it wasn't the same words, Clyde heard, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Clyde, I've got it together. You've just got to trust me in this. And I saw the change in Clyde that was incredible. It was like he went from here to here, just like Peter. And he began to preach the gospel, and people began to look at him and point and say, what's wrong with him? He walks around carrying his Bible. Did something happen to his brain? And it was because he was so in love with God at the same time he had lost his son. I remember that same commitment. I talked to it a couple weeks ago on 123 Main Street, where I decided, you know what? I am going to quit questioning God. I'm going to just surrender and have a simple faith like a little tiny child. And the life that changed in me was incredible. And when you surrender like that, you go from agape love to phileo love. And then I turn around and I look, those were experiences that I had, but I look at my wife, and from the day that I married my wife, I saw her grow and grow and grow and grow and surrender and surrender. And it was over a period of time. It wasn't one event like it was for me or for Clyde. It was a steady growth into a surrendering to Jesus Christ. So there's no prescription on how you surrender to Jesus Christ. You just got to come to the place in your life where you bend the knee and you say, Lord, I'm in the same place that Peter was, and Jesus is saying to me, do you agape me? Do you phileo me? If you do, then feed my sheep. Get with it. And maybe you've come to the place in your life, and I don't know where you guys are at, all of you. I don't know. I mean, there are certain degrees of surrendering, isn't there? But boy, there's a time, I'm telling you, if you haven't experienced this, where you come to the all, surrendering all and letting go and saying, Lord, you take me, you use me. And day by day, we have to continue to surrender, but there is that point in your life. And I don't know if you're there. I know just by the numbers that probably a majority have not arrived there yet. A minority of you have. And I want to go to prayer here. And as we bow our heads and close our eyes, I just want to ask you a couple questions here. Would you like today to surrender your all to Jesus Christ? Would you like to be loving these people in the faith? Would you like to be in the same place Peter was, where he said, Lord, you know that I love you, but he really hadn't surrendered, and he's able to give his all. Are you there this morning? As Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Are you ready to follow him? And as I talk, I'm telling you, sometimes life is hard. Sometimes there's a price to pay because of that. People will make fun of you. They will make statements. They will misjudge you because you've given your life completely to Christ. But the question is, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to give it all? Let's pray together. And if you're that person, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender all. I surrender all that I know to give to you, Lord. It's yours. And I am willing, Lord, at this point in my life to do all that you tell me to do. And let me start first, Lord, by loving one another in agape, and then develop that into a phileo. And Lord, I know by doing this, I'm going to begin to have an emotional and affectionate love affair with you as well. So Lord, I surrender all. I'm ready to do. I'm ready to follow you. And as our heads are still bowed, if you're there today, we don't give this opportunity much, so I want to give this opportunity. If you really would like to surrender it all, you prayed that prayer with me, just stick your hand up and put it back down. It's between you and God and no one else. We're not going to call on you or anything. I just want you to be able to say, God, I surrender it all, and raise up your hand and then put it back down. Thank you. Thank you for all those hands. Father, we just are so in love with you. We look and it's unbelievable, Lord, what you have done. You so loved us that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, we thank you this morning. I just pray that all who raise their hands really will step forward in a total surrender to you, and the rest of us will come to that place at some point, if we haven't, that we will surrender. We will be willing to pay the price. We will be willing to take the stuff from people, because we truly love you and we are committed to you. In Jesus' name, amen.